The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Win Carpenter. How are you, brother?
I am doing just fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. This is Jefferson State of Mind,
mm-hmm.
and we are here with our trusted producer, Liam. How
are you, buddy? Good morning. I'm good.
Liam, are you keeping Terry out of trouble?
I'm trying my best.
He does.
Good luck, buddy.
He keeps us all out of trouble.
Challenge accepted, right?
Yes. A young man, but an old soul.
There you go.
I hear that often.
Yes, an old soul. And that's a compliment.
No, I know.
When people tell you that,
that's
quite the compliment. I'm like Ben Franklin. He was a young soul.
And an old man body.
An old man's body.
Kind of like you. Kind of like you.
Yeah. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 1460 AM. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better.
And better, and better.
And better. Your talk radio, you can also listen live as we are streaming on KCNR1460.com. And today we are going to be having a guest calling in. In fact, I think the phone just rang for him. And we're going to have Mark Baird calling, and he's going to be updating us on a very important court case for protecting our Second Amendment rights, and we're pretty excited about that. If you have a question or a comment, phone number here is 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and again, we are streaming live, KCNR1460.com, in our continual soiree. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Better than we deserve, that's for sure.
Yeah, sometimes that's true, isn't it?
Yep.
So you have a lot of things going on here. Your Second Amendment court case is really getting a lot of traction. And if you could give us a quick overview and then give us the latest update, that would be great. So go right ahead, sir.
Well, we have sued the state of California regarding the ability to openly carry a loaded weapon for purpose of self-defense or militia purposes or whatever purpose you want, as long as it's lawful. And the state of California, of course, opposes that because they have banned the carry of weapons outside the home, loaded weapons or unloaded weapons, although they may allow you to apply for a permit to carry a handgun that is concealable and you carry it concealed. So you have no Second Amendment right in California. The state may allow you to have some access to your firearm, but as far as the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, you have no such right in California. It's been stripped from you.
So it's been infringed then? So it's been infringed?
Yeah, I think that a ban is infringed would come under the definition of infringement for sure.
Okay.
And we have no rights here, except those which the government may allow us. Now, since I filed this case, I don't know, it's been like 4 years now, of course, we ended up under the chief magistrate of the Ninth Circuit, the Federal Court for the Eastern District in Sacramento, Judge Kimberly Mueller, and for 4 years she's been kicking the can down the road because, you know, she knows that she knew on the first day that our Second Amendment claim had merit, and every time we have any dealings with the court, the only thing that's ever solved is she moves the goalpost and moves the goalpost and moves the goalpost further down the road and further down the road and further down the road. She is an operative for the state of California. fact, she's a better attorney for California than the state's attorney is. She's constantly giving the state suggestions and telling them what to argue, and then, of course, affirms their argument when she's told them what to argue. But what we've managed to do now is we finally managed to get her to deny a preliminary injunction. And what a preliminary injunction does is it bars the enforcement of the offending statute until the case is fully heard and a verdict is rendered. So what we would have if we had a preliminary injunction affirmed, we would have the right to openly carry our weapons in the state of California without government permission for lawful individuals until the case was fully adjudicated. Well, of course, she denied the preliminary injunction. That was her intent all along. But we finally, after 4 years, and a preliminary injunction, by the way, is emergency in nature. In other words, it is a denial of a constitutional right. You want the court to affirm the constitutional right. And mind you, that's the court terminology because I don't believe in constitutional rights. And the Supreme Court agrees with me. The Supreme Court says we have pre-governmental rights. And Judge Mueller, though, says we don't have those because she's smarter than the rest of the world. And she says we only have constitutional rights. There is no such thing as pre-governmental rights. And by the way, the term pre-governmental right is not my term. It comes from the Declaration of Independence. It was affirmed in Cruikshank versus United States. It was affirmed again in Heller versus United States or Heller versus D.C. It was affirmed again in New York Rifle and Pistol Association v. the state of New York. The term pre-governmental rights is not only a term used by Sam Adams, William Blackstone, John Locke, the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. It was used by several Supreme Courts to describe the nature of human rights, individual liberty upon which this nation is founded, which predate government because they belong to the human being by virtue of the fact that he's a free and independent human being. And those rights, by the way, are also codified in the California Constitution. But since Judge Mueller, in her infinite wisdom, said on the record that we don't have pre-governmental rights, we have constitutional rights, which infers that if the Constitution gives you a right, the government can take that right away. Because the government is the construct of the Constitution. That is the object of the contract we call Constitution. But nevertheless, she finally, after 4 years, refused to issue the preliminary injunction and made several egregious errors that first-year law students wouldn't make. But she made those errors intentionally because had she not made the errors, she would have had to issue the preliminary injunction. In other words, in our opinion, the state painted itself into the corner in their zeal to ban everything all the time and require government permission for everything you do every day, all the time. They have neglected to allow an opening through which the Constitution may leak. And in that mistake, they have affirmed the fact that we will probably win this case. And it may have to go to the Supreme Court, but we will win in the end.
Now,
you cannot ban an enumerated right.
Right.
You can't ban a right guaranteed
right.
by the Bill of Rights.
Right.
And
yeah.
California has done that.
How is it that it's so plain and so it's just so plain? It's there's
black and white.
Black and white. And I mean the frustration level. I know that you've been very calm about this and. Patient, as we all have.
We're
all pulling for you, and it's just that we're pulling for us because this is for all of us.
For everybody, yeah.
You know, it's just sort of crazy to think about the fact that, I mean, they're just, I for the life of me, it's like there's two sides to every story, not this one.
Well, like I say, California has an intent here, and their intent is that you beg the government's permission for every single thing you do, everything you say, every breath you take, everything you buy, every active action you take. They want you to beg the government for permission for that, and if permission can be granted, permission can also be denied. And that's what this boils down to.
Yeah,
so what we're what we're doing is we're objecting to that, and we're probably going to win. It's such a they have such a shallow line of logic that it's unbelievable.
Well, hey, Mark, what about judges operating in, within good behavior as it's outlined in the Constitution? And that word behavior is all caps and in bold when it says that they must operate within good behavior. So by her actions of denial and just kicking the can down the road and just essentially lying through this whole case, isn't that poor behavior? I mean, shouldn't she be held accountable somehow by some agency, group, citizens, whatever? Shouldn't she be held to account for that and or just be removed?
Yeah, I mean, but you have to ask yourself, first of all, the term behavior is subjective. She's certainly not guilty of bad behavior in the state's view. She's guilty of exemplary behavior in the state's view.
Yeah, that's true.
She's guilty of bad behavior in our view, but that's irrelevant because in the eyes of courts, who would take action against her, or in the eyes of government, who would take action against her, not, you know, it's not. In other words, the remedy for a judge with bad behavior is not up to the individual citizen. It would be up to maybe millions of individual citizens, but not one or two or ten or a hundred. Is legislative action or court action. And they have taken that term in Article 3 of the United States Constitution to mean they serve for life. It has nothing to do with their behavior. They serve for life. And that's how that portion of the Constitution has been assumed to mean.
But no, as they move this, as she kicks this can down the road, what do you see happening in the near future? Where does your case go from here?
Well, we have appealed the preliminary injunction to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has a problem because they also, in their zeal to protect California's tyranny, they have painted themselves into the corner. And the corner they've painted themselves into is that they are bound by, in other words, if a case is adjudicated in the Ninth Circuit, there is another case, Chambers versus U.S., that says once that judgment has come out, that opinion's been issued, that all judges in the Ninth Circuit are bound by that opinion. Okay, so in Peruta 2, Peruta v. San Diego the second time around, the second time the NRA argued that you can ban open carry as long as you allow concealed carry, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals en banc, in other words, the majority of the judges voted on this, says that there is no right to openly carry a weapon outside your home. And you may apply for a concealed carry permit. And if there was a right, concealed carry is not a right. It's a permission. States can regulate it. They can ban it. They can do whatever they want with it. And if there's a right, it's open carry. But they're not saying that there is a right. They're saying if there's a right. Well, the state has said that you can regulate concealed carry. It's not a right. The Ninth Circuit has to accept that value judgment. So now we take our case to say, well, we're applying that law to say California has banned an enumerated right. If concealed carry is not a right, then open carry must be, and we want our rights to be vindicated. And we want a preliminary injunction from the Ninth Circuit which vindicates that. And we know we have a right because four Supreme Court cases at a minimum, ending up with Bruin versus New York Rifle and Pistol, say that people have the right to carry a weapon outside their home for the purpose of self-defense. So we know we have a right. The Constitution says so. It's in plain English. And the Bruin case further says that the text is to be interpreted as the founders understood it to mean in 1791. And that the state has to prove that the conduct that we seek is outside of the unqualified command of the Second Amendment, and they can't. I mean, we seek the right to keep and bear arms. That is the verbatim text of the Second Amendment. They cannot prove that it isn't, because it is. And so now the Ninth Circuit is really forced by its own rules to issue the PI, and in order to deny the preliminary injunction, they're going to have to break the law.
Which they're aptly doing at this point.
They're not afraid of breaking.
No, they're not afraid, you know. And, you know, to me, when you guys were talking about good behavior, I was thinking that the way that I read it or understood it was good behavior would be doing what they're supposed to do, and that's interpret the Constitution not only in its original text, but in exactly what it each thing means. I thought that's what they meant by good behavior.
That's what we all hope they meant.
Well, this judge certainly isn't doing that. Do you feel that now, is there a change of venue or anything to where you can get away from Mueller, or how does all that work?
Well, that was what, you know, our goal was to, literally, our goal had to be to get this out of her court. Whether that was declared a win or a loss for us, we had to get this away from her. Clearly, she was going to wait until I was dead before this case ever came up, or spend so much money that I would be broke and I wouldn't be able to proceed. So our goal was to get this away from her. And by her finally denying the preliminary injunction, that gave us the opportunity to appeal that to a higher court. So that's where we are now. Now, the case itself is still in front of her, but the preliminary injunction is now at the circuit court level. We've all filed our papers. We filed the appeal. The state filed its rebuttal to the appeal. We just filed our rebuttal to their rebuttal. And now we'll have oral arguments in Pasadena, which is the central district for the Ninth Circuit Court. And that's probably a good thing, because even though it's not terribly higher, the odds are somewhat higher we could get 2 out of 3 judges that are conservatives down there.
Oh, so you will have a 3-judge panel then?
We will have a 3-judge panel, and it will be in Pasadena, California, sometime in the latter part of June. And those are, and interestingly enough, typically the Ninth Circuit rules on these interlocutory appeals. And by interlocutory, that means we have filed an appeal before the case itself has been adjudicated. So they typically handle these with paperwork. And if they wanted to get rid of you, they do it in an unpublished decision, as we know, because an unpublished decision rarely makes it to the Supreme Court. So this time they're asking for oral arguments because they are now constrained by Bruin. And they've had a lot of cases kicked back to them, which they then kicked back to the circuit court, or the federal court, because their decisions under Bruin were wrong. So they're sitting there looking at a Supreme Court that's a little PO'd at them, and now a case is coming up under the Bruin guidelines, and we'll see what happens.
Well, all this could be stopped and prevented because the Constitution binds the government, not the people. They're operating as if it's binding the people and not the government. They're using it bass-ackwards.
And who's stopping them?
And who's stopping them?
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
You know, again, the Constitution is just a piece of paper unless we use it.
Unless we use it, right.
And,
right.
You know, a lot of times to use that, sometimes it takes measures that people will find quite uncomfortable. You know, I mean, the responsibility of people to stand up for this stuff, as you're doing, has got to be something that takes the majority of us. I heard an interesting comment this morning, though. And that is, I guess Shasta County per capita has more, well, actually, I don't even know if it's per capita. I think we have more registered firearms in our county than any county in the state of California.
It used to be bouncing between us and Kern County,
and
Kern County. Now we're still
number one. And,
perfect.
And the crazy thing about that is when you look at that, how in the world did we get, how did the vote even come out the way it did on some of the elections that we've had here in this county?
I don't know. An audit will tell you.
Yeah. But you know, the Second Amendment is vital to it's vital. It's the protection that we have for our liberty. I mean, period. I mean, obviously the courts are failing us. The legislative body in California is failing us. Has failed us. Has failed everybody pretty much.
Our elected officials have failed
us. Officials have failed us. I mean, the Dalles are a good example of that. There was a dinner put up by the Republican Party of Shasta County. They didn't even bother to show up.
Why do they need to? They have all the money to get elected without showing up.
Isn't that the truth?
Bother with the people for?
Isn't that the truth? You know, and
California California is owned by the CalPERS and the Public Employee Union, and they do that to feather their own nest and get more money. And you know, you look in your own backyard, and we look in our backyard in Siskiyou County. What are the retirements again for these guys? $250,000 a year in retirement and more? I mean, lifeguards in Southern California make $250,000 a year to be a lifeguard. That used to be summer job for a high school kid.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, but so what's happening is there is a money sponge, and it's in Sacramento. It's inside the clown car they call the state capitol. And that money sponge, and you, by the way, are the unwilling donor. You give and give and give until you're finally bled dry and leave, which people have been doing for 10, 12 years now. And in the end, that money is just doled out to the partners who run the state. So this is nothing but a money scam, and you're the unwilling donor to the scam.
You know, more and more people are becoming aware of what's going on in their government. But we've done several podcasts that we've done. And by the way, folks, we want to, on Mountaintop Media, if you could go to the last podcast we did, if you go to Special Report, when it shows the podcast, the last two podcasts on Special Report, you're going to find very interesting. We have Clint Curtis, who was involved in how these machines get programmed.
Yep.
And
he was
a
developer, yep.
Yep. Alex Haberbusch, who is with the Rex Institute, who is an attorney who explains exactly what's going on with our voting system here in California, how hand counting is not only legal, but something that we need to apply probably in every county. But I want you folks to go there because we're going to have a very special report. It should be out about the 25th of April, and that will be on Mountaintop Media, and that will be with Mark Baird. And we'll be discussing something that he's written and something that many of us have wanted and worked on for quite some time, and that is a resolution to protect the Second Amendment in the state of in your county. But also, Mark, you know, and we'll get into this after the break. We're going to take an early break here because I want to talk to you about this idea you had for a Second Amendment amendment to the California Constitution. So we're going to go off to our break. And we'll see you on the other side. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Last of a dying breed.
things. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's a state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. State of Jefferson.
Boy, do we need that. We most definitely need that. Welcome back, everybody, to Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Time has come for 51.
Mm-hmm. And we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. We're with Mark Baird. How are you, my friend?
Good.
Good. You know, as we talk about all these egregious things going on in the state of California, and a lot of people don't understand the power that a state has and, you know, all that good stuff as far as where the jurisdiction of the state lies really and truly, and that the federal government is a product that was created by the states when they did their compact and when they wrote the Constitution of the United States. You know, you've looked at all this, and you've talked about if it takes it, you're going to run for Senate for District 1, because you know you're tired of it like everybody else. And I think one of the things that I'd like to get into in this second part here is if the courts are corrupt and the legislative body's corrupt, you know, and frankly the executive offices in the state of California are corrupt, where exactly do we go from here?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, this is pretty simple. Where we go is the state split.
Amen.
You know, the clown, the chief clown in the clown car is guilty of violation of two federal statutes. He's clearly in sedition, and he's guilty of a violation of Title 8, Section 1324, harboring and shielding an illegal alien. He spent $27 billion on illegal aliens last year, and he only spent less than $1 billion on veteran care. The clown and the clowns in the building are in violation of Title 18, 1466A, which is makes it illegal for a person to knowingly produce, distribute, receive, possess with intent to transfer sexually explicit material to minors. In the California public instruction system, sexualizes minors in elementary school with gay pride stuff and drag queen story hour and explicit material in their books about how to engage in sexual acts and things like that.
Wow.
Clearly, this state is unlawful, led by the liar-in-chief, an unlawful dictator who closes the state down, ruins thousands and thousands of businesses while he goes to the most expensive restaurant in California with no mask on, and then claims, oh, no, no, that's different. You know, they passed a resolution or a law, I think it was legislation, I'm not sure, where state employees cannot travel to certain conservative states from California, but yet the governor tours all those states. He was in Florida last week, sitting there clapping his hands at some leftist elementary school in time to children singing a song, and then he calls the governor of Florida a buffoon when he's the biggest buffoon in the nation. He forms a pact. He's going to run for president. He hasn't declared yet because he's a little scared of doing that before Biden says he's not going to run. So he forms the Liberty Pact, gets millions of dollars in there, and he's clearly campaigning for president. But no, he's just touring the less free areas of the country, in other words, the conservative areas, and telling their governors what mistakes they're making and how they should all behave like the state of California. Oh, and by the way, the state of California is so successful, people are leaving in droves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to free states or where there's more opportunity. You know, here's a guy that says that conservative governors like Sarah Huckabee Sanders are tyrants, when he's telling people that you can't own a gasoline lawnmower. I mean, you can't own a gas car after 2030. You had to get rid of all your trucks. In other words, you have to commit economic, social and cultural suicide in the state of California to kowtow to the social engineering projects of the worst idiot that's ever sat in the governor's chair. And, you know, I would suggest that that's probably less free than some other places, but he's going to take tens of millions of dollars from Silicon Valley and the buffoons and the lockstep liberals that live there in order to ruin our lives even further so that the Chinese and Africans can continue to pollute as much as they want to.
Yeah, you know, all of that is so true. And I think the frustrating part is that, you know, folks, what Mark's just giving you is some really plain talk, things that are real, factual things, and things that we aren't getting from our present senator, which is Brian Daly, and things that we're not getting at all from Megan Daly. In fact, I'm amazed that, you know, again, you know, you talked about the money, Mark, and if you have enough money, you can run and win anything. And, you know, the thing is if you want to help Mark and you want to help him, what we need to do is we need to start backing him with support, pledges, and start understanding that we need to have someone in that office as Senate for District 1 that's going to stand up and say these things about the governor and say these things that are factual and true. When Mark mentioned just now about 1466 and having a situation where all this virtual pornographic material is going to our kids as young as 5 and 6 years old, all that's okay with this state. Is that okay with you parents? And Megan Daly ran to where she was saying that she was going to protect our children, and not one piece of legislation, not one referendum, not one attempt to try to repeal these ungodly, awful laws.
I think I lost you.
Nope, you're there.
You did.
You're there. He just ended oddly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ended oddly?
Yeah.
Okay, how did I end oddly?
I don't know how you ended. I don't know how you ended oddly.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's a very interesting thing, quite frankly, that the government itself here runs as though there is no oversight, and there isn't any.
Nope.
They do exactly what they want. There's never been a forensic audit of the state of California. I mean, if I were a senator, and let's face it, the odds are pretty long. The Dalys have all the money. You don't run against people in California. You run against the money. And if you don't have $1 million, you know, you might as well just go sit down. Because without $1 million, you're not even going to be in the race. And we had we've had several examples of good people who tried to run for state-level office in California, and you just get handed your backside because the other side has union money.
Yeah, and people.
And when you have union money,
right.
I think what is it? Megan and Brian have, and this is a funny coincidence. They have within about $100 or $200 of one another, the exact same amount in their campaign fund.
Right,
about $2.5 million.
Right,
two and a half plus change each. Well, how does that? That's kind of a funny coincidence. How
Isn't
they
it?
End up with exactly the same amount of money in their campaign accounts, but between the two of them, they got $5 million to keep the dynasty going. I mean, there's no way.
And people keep voting for him, Mark. That's the issue. I mean, people continue to vote for these do nothing people. I mean, there isn't one thing Megan Daly's done. Brian Daly made some attempts early on to do something, but she's never done anything. She won't even go into committee. I mean, her own staff is saying, "Well, why even put a bill forward if it gets to committee? They'll kill it." Well, then why are you there? I mean, go home and take care of your business. Why are you even there? And I think that the difference is, and I think where people need to stand up and elect somebody for Senate in District 1 is to stand up and say, okay, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, but not the, but and let's put ourselves out there. In other words, a rally on the steps at the Capitol. I mean, a rally on the steps at the Capitol that we've had it. And District 1 needs to stand up. Shasta County has stood up. The rest of District 1 has to stand up. And I believe that the way you articulate what is wrong with this state and your solution is state split. Well, you know, we have said it 500 times, my friend. If you have a better idea, Let's hear it. If you have a better idea on how to fix California other than state split, arguably three, maybe four states, if you have a better idea, let's hear it. Have you ever heard a better idea, Mark?
Well, no, I haven't, and I don't think there is another idea that could impact the issues that we're talking about more dramatically and all at the same time. In other words, we can fight these fights one at a time, I guess. You know, if a million people would stand up and if a million people would be willing to fight 100,000 battles on 100 fronts against a corrupt state with a corrupt legislature and an absolute buffoon and an idiot for a governor. And in addition to that, members of both parties who have just shut their mouth and hold out their hand and wait for the money to come in. You know, if we can, we could fight these fights one at a time, but I guarantee you, collectively, we wouldn't live long enough to win maybe two or three of them. But if we separate this state and reboot, in other words, start over, what we need is we need to restart. We need to start with a blank slate, go back to the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights and the liberty that that affords us, and then form our own state where liberty is the basis, personal choice, personal liberty, personal responsibility, less government agencies. I mean, for gosh sakes, we have 575 state agencies or so in the state of California. The California Constitution has been amended over 500 times in the last 150 years. The United States Constitution has only been amended 27 times in the last 200 plus years, and people thought better of a couple of those after they did them. But we live in a state that is so convoluted and so messed up and so backward that it, in my opinion, it can't possibly be fixed at this point.
I couldn't agree more.
The only answer is dissolution, and to come up with two or three states where the people within those states can go to clown car hell if they want to, or they can live with liberty and personal responsibility and objective morals and values if they so choose.
And more economic freedom.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I mean, all of that is so true. And, you know, the simple fact that you'd be willing to run on those principles – With no bars held, you know, you're gonna, when you step in to a situation and you're talking about the things you're talking about, state split, representation, you know, enough is enough. We take back a portion of this state for Northern California, maybe Central California, Southern California, however which way you divide it, but really and truly, you know, the platform of standing on those steps, the platform of reaching out to the people. It's kind of like, you know, how much good, and I'm going to ask the folks this, how much good really does a lot of the people who represent you, especially in District 1, especially someone like Megan Daly, oh my gosh, what does she actually do there? What's the point of being there in the Assembly? What's the point of even being there in the Senate? You know, the one thing about Doug LaMalfa that I do respect about him is when he was the state senator, he was everywhere. He spent more time in his district than he did sitting down there because he knew he could get more done with the people. And that's what Trump did. Trump went to the people. You're not going to convince 67 out of 80 representatives in the Assembly that are Democrats to do what you want if you're a constitutionalist. And you're not gonna persuade 29 out of 40 Democrats that you want change here, and we need change if you're a constitutionalist. The only way to win this thing, folks, is to have someone like Mark who will stand on those steps and fight for us, but be in your district. You want him down there, doing nothing. We need a state split. We need it now. We need to get back the Second Amendment. We need to have those God-given rights, as Mark said, not Constitution rights, constitutional rights. They're constitutionally protected, but they're God-given rights. Mm-hmm. And Mark, I really, you know, let's just do a little game here, so to speak. Let's say you're elected senator. What would be the first thing that you would do if you were elected senator? What would you do?
Well, my first official act would be to introduce state split legislation.
Outstanding.
So I mean, you know, it would never make it out of committee. It would never go anywhere because, you know, in the words of Daryl Steinberg's chief of staff, no one in Sacramento, and she did not say no Democrat. She said no one in Sacramento will allow you to have your liberty back. No one in Sacramento wants the northern border of California to be the American River, basically, instead of the Oregon border. No one will allow you to govern yourself. No one. And that meant the Republicans as well, because, you know, they have a little tiny crown, but it's pulled tight down around their ears. Look at the Dalley dynasty. I mean, they run the northern third of California over the dinner table. Well, how cool is that? And, you know, their deal with the Democrats probably is, and I'm guessing because I don't know this firsthand, but, you know, hey, we won't rock the boat too awfully much if you leave us alone.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. I can remember what she said basically is, you know, the thing is you're not going to get any change because all these elected officials, your legislative body likes it the way it is. They like what they have. They like the opportunity of gaining power and wealth at your expense. And that's what's going on in California.
Well, and then they get to serve on.
All you have to do is you just look at Northern California. I mean, they're ripping out four perfectly good dams on the Klamath River to supply the cleanest, greenest, cheapest energy on the planet to over 70,000 homes. Where did the Dalley stand on that? No comment.
Yeah.
You know, we have enough geothermal potential in Siskiyou County alone, and if you include Shasta, Lassen, and Modoc, we have enough geothermal potential to probably power the state of California. But who is championing that in District 1? Oh, wait a minute. Nobody.
What?
We have no Second Amendment rights. Who's trying to do something about that in District 1? The nobody family. Let's see. We're being told that we can't have gasoline cars. The trucking industry was devastated over CARB regulations that are a known lie. And who is doing something about that in District 1? The same nobody dynasty. You know, who shows up to meetings and debates from District 1? Nobody. Who shows up at candidate debates when re-elections are on the line? Nobody, except the challenger. I mean, so what do you got here? You have a faceless, nameless dynasty running District 1 with a total of $5 million in their campaign war chest, a couple of pretty big CalPERS checks coming their way, and I wouldn't bet that it would be a couple more years before the sun runs for the assembly in California. Got to give it a decent amount of time so it looks good, but that'll be the next member of the Dalley dynasty.
You know, and that's also true. I mean, the thing is that it's a do-nothing thing, folks. You know, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Somebody call in and say something these two have done. I mean, really and truly, there is absolutely nothing they've done to protect us. There's nothing they've done especially to protect our children. And that is the purview, that is the jurisdiction of Megha Dalley and what the heck she ran on, and nothing. Absolutely. Is that okay with everybody out there? I mean, I'm scratching my head. How is that okay? I mean, the attempt, and when you talk about the dams, I can remember talking to Bruce Ross about that years ago up in Wairika, you know, and, oh, well, you know, well, what about Brian? What's his stand? Well, you know, he really doesn't, you know, it's really, you know, they're private dams. I mean, there's really nothing he can do about it.
You can make
noise. There's private dams on a federally protected wild and scenic river in which the state of California and the state of Oregon have entered into an unconstitutional contract under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4, where no state will make an agreement with any other state without the consent of Congress, and with no NEPA, no CEQA, no nothing, and they're already starting to build a hatchery to replace the one they're going to rip out. And also, they never applied for any county building permits because they said they don't need them. They said the state's in charge of it.
Well, Mark, you've got the facts. How come?
Well, because we're going to get steamrolled by it. You know, part of the agreement is once the dams are gone, the Klamath River will have to supply 1,325 cubic feet per second of water in order to supply in-stream flow for the fish for water that no human being is allowed to derive any benefit from. And, heck, the Klamath River goes dry without those dams sometimes. So who's going to supply that water? The farmers and the irrigators will, against their will, and in contravention of pre-constitutional water rights. And unless we have a Second Amendment, we won't even be able to stop that.
So do we want somebody to be a state senator, folks, that is going to stand up and fight this and have the solution? The only solution is state split in California. It's the only solution. You're not going to change it down there. I know we need to reform California and all that, blah, 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 blah. How do we do that? How in the world do we do that? I mean, we're getting rid of the Dominion machine here in Shasta County. We're going back to Hand County. We're working all that. The state is just trying to prevent us from every which way from Monday to just stop us from doing this stuff that we are protected even under law in doing. And how is that we can fix the unfixable? I want to know. I really want to know. We've been asking that question for 10 years.
10 years. When Mark started this whole thing, 10 years ago, in Siskiyou County. It started in Siskiyou County and filtered to Modoc, and then it just kept on going. So, yeah, it's been in the works for 10 years.
You know, and I'm kind of wondering is if there would be a way legislatively, and I don't know if there is or not, to force a referendum of the District 1 counties. I would only represent District 1. I can't speak for any others. If some other representative wants to jump on board, I'd happily, include them. But the District 1 counties, a referendum to withdraw from the state of California. I mean, let the voters decide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's an absolute great idea. No one's done that at this point.
What's his name did it? The guy that did the three states, Tim.
Tim. Yeah, Draper.
Draper.
Yeah, he did it. And the California Supreme Court said the people of California aren't smart enough to know whether
they
should have a state split because they might be harming the environment.
Yeah, but the people of Jefferson are. The people are of Jefferson are smarter than that.
Well, here's my counter argument to that. If you want to claim that you're saving the environment in this state, then you had better be prepared to show me numbers where you have looked out 150 or 200 years, and you can tell me for sure, because this is costing people their money, their fortune, their lives, their liberty, and their property. So you better be able to tell me for sure that under these policies, the climate will be X, Y, or Z in 150 or 200 years. You also better be able to tell me how much money this is going to cost the people today and who will suffer under these draconian regulations, because I'm telling you right now, it is going to be poor people who pay for this, and they will lose their jobs, they will lose their livelihood, they'll just lose their ability to drive to the store, they'll lose their choice, their money, and maybe even their lives, because I got to tell you, cold has killed a hell of a lot more people than heat has over the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And so you had better be able to explain to me exactly what it is you propose to do and how that will help, and then give me proof that it will actually do something good for the earth before I would even consider it. I mean, if climate change is a thing, you better be able to prove your point, and they can't. The governor of California and the clowns in the clown car simply wiggle their finger, wiggle their nose, and they bankrupt thousands and thousands of businesses every year. And they're driving people away from this state. They're killing resource communities and killing resource counties and driving us into hopelessness and drug addiction and drug abuse. And people are dying from that. And what is the governor doing with the increase in fentanyl overdoses? And there's a new drug coming around. It's an animal tranquilizer combined with fentanyl pouring across the southern border. And the governor welcomes those people. Oh, come on in. You're welcome in California. He's more interested in killing unborn babies than he is in promoting and saving the lives of the Californians who are here today and pay his way and pay his salary.
And you're right about all of that.
What are the representatives in District 1 doing about that?
And what are they doing to prevent the molestation of our children's minds in the schools?
Right.
What are they doing to prevent the murder of the children who might be children in our schools in 5 years if they were allowed to live?
Right.
Well, and again, Megan Daly has done nothing. She has done nothing. Absolutely. Well, zero. And we just vote these people in. Even with that mindset, you can't vote them in. Now, one other thing I want to bring up here, there's been at least five counties that I can think of that have personally contacted me saying there's no way that they would ever want to vote for Megan Daly for anything, or frankly, Brian Daly again for anything. Brian Daly got some votes for the governorship of California, being the lesser of two evils. But the do nothing, get along to prosper myself, my friends, my family, which is what the perception is of the Dalys in just about every county. Really and truly, my friend, I think that in some cases, maybe like the election we had not too long ago, where there was a congressman named Brown who beat an incumbent, and he had something like, I don't know, $40,000 or something.
Yeah, yep.
And he beat him, and the guy had millions of dollars. And I'm not saying that in a possible run that there wouldn't be money there. Absolutely, 100% there has to be. What I am saying is that the platform and the message is everything. The message is everything. And the message that I believe you're conveying, Mark, is liberty. The message you're conveying is that state split is the only answer for our protection of liberty in California. We've got about 4 minutes left. Buddy, bring us home.
Well, look, liberty is the most important thing. Liberty first, liberty always. And I want your listeners to really, really think about this statement. Without liberty, they're not going to let you keep your money or your property. Without liberty to refuse, without liberty to object, without liberty to make your own decisions, you're not going to be allowed to decide the course of your life or the course of your children's life. And you look at the Second Amendment ban in California. The state of California has given, and this is by their own court paper, has given all authority to police chiefs and sheriffs to decide who may carry a weapon in California. So they've already given your Second Amendment right to a bureaucrat who, with no right of appeal, and if that bureaucrat, and according to the sheriff in Santa Clara County, he's going to use the moral interview to deny as many permits as possible. He's going to use the process to deny Second Amendment rights. In San Mateo County, they're saying that sheriff probably has taken bribes to give out concealed carry permits. The previous sheriff of Santa Clara was indicted over the same thing. Two sheriffs in Los Angeles County have had problems over those things. So if you trust the state of California to direct your liberty and the path that you take with your family and your children, you are making a big mistake. And there are four Supreme Court cases that dictate that the liberty of who takes care of your children and the decision-making process, Santusky versus Kramer, Prince versus Massachusetts, Truxell versus Granville, and Pierce versus Society of Sisters, is that the fundamental liberty interest in natural parents in the care, custody, and management of their child is paramount. The state has no place in those decisions. The Supreme Court, God agrees, first of all, but the Supreme Court has affirmed four different times that the parents decide what happens with their children, their education, and their future. Well, how is that panning out for you in the state of California? So you have a choice here, voters and people. You can keep doing things the same way and hope it turns out different, or we can try to do something different to shake the can and get this train pointed the right direction.
Absolutely.
Amen. Hey, now I want to tag on to this, too. If people want to help support your 2A case, they need to mail a check made out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, and then in the memo portion put 2A, and the address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B like Boy, Reading 96003.
Mark, my friend,
thank you.
Thank you, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We have no say. Don't serve us, serve LA. The time has come for 51 in Jefferson State.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.